it's a perfect day. Perfect day for Byron.
Yep.
It's a perfect day for Tim. I guess Byron's testimony is your testimony.
Yep.
Amen? I mean, you know, it's all of our testimony.
Yep.
Byron's testimony or Rick's testimony is all of ours. We just kind of, oh my gosh, it just, everything fell apart. Everything went down. Everything went south. You know, but the fact is that God's still on the throne. How do you know? Well, the sun came up. Amen? Everything, I mean, everything continues, as the scripture said, everything continues as it has from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Everything continues as it has. What that means is God is still on the throne. God's still in charge. So every day, just rejoice. Every day, just, I tell you, just speak to your soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. This is Psalm 103, so you have an address to go look it up. It really does, the Bible really does say that. It really does say that he redeems your life from destruction. Isn't that good? He redeems, he heals your diseases. He fills your life with good things. That's what he does. Now, you can look at that and you can say, well, you can compare it to your life. Or you can say, this is a promise. This is a promise.
Yeah.
Whosoever believeth in him, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I'm going to have everlasting life. I'm going to choose that. I'm going to choose to believe that. Because, I mean, it doesn't help to believe the other. The other's coming anyway. The destruction is coming anyway. The bad times are coming anyway. Right? I mean, yeah, bad times just show up. Trouble comes. Jesus said it. He said, in the world you're going to have trouble. But he gave you an option. He gave you an option. He said, be of good cheer. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So here we come. It's already up, Jack. That work? It's already up.
Is the red light on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We have an opportunity coming up here in a couple days. It's called January 1st. Amen. I'm not selling anything. But you have an opportunity to decide that on maybe on New Year's Eve that this is the best year of my life.
Yep.
Amen? This is the best year of my life. Jesus Christ is living on the inside of me. Everything's going my way. Well, what if things don't go my way? No, everything's going your way.
That's true.
What if somebody points out that nothing's going my way? No, everything's going my way. What if somebody says, you are absolutely crazy? Praise God. Everything's going my way. Amen? That's the truth. That's this is your life. This is your life. Your life is not, here's what it was, like they used to do on TV. You know, this was your life. You know. And they bring out all your friends and all your, you know, everybody who ever knew you. And you had to have done something wonderful to qualify. No, this is your life. Is that Jesus Christ lives in me today, and it's every single day. Every day is I've said it, every day is a resurrection. Every day you open your eyes, boing, you know, glory to God. I'm breathing, you know. And so for some people, that's bad news. For some people, they just want it to end, right? Some people, they just want it to end. They just, you know, when you're old, you can almost have an excuse, but you got to let God do it. Like my stepdad, you know, when my mom passed away October 17th, and unexpectedly, and I think most of you know that. And then on October 26th, 4 days after the funeral, my stepdad just passed away. He was laying in his recliner. I came over to find him because he wasn't picking up the phone. I talked to him the night before, and then I talked to him the next morning. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm up. I'm getting up. So, and I Tried to call him two or three more times during the day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got there, and he was laying in the recliner. He had left. He had departed. Now, he didn't tell me he was going to go. He didn't tell me he had some intention to go, and there's nothing wrong with him. I believe he just decided that if he could go home and be with my mom, that he was going to do that. Because his work, my work here is done, as the superhero said. My work here is done. So, but for most of you, God's not going to let you get, he's not going to give you that out. You know, he's going to say, no, stick it out. I got blessing for you. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. What it means is he's got joy in your heart for you. Does it mean $1 million? I don't know. Does it mean a big business of your own? I don't know. What it does mean is that I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory on the inside for you. That's all you're looking for. See, Israel was looking for, they were qualifying Jesus. You know, Esther found it interesting. Anybody know that Esther went to Israel last week or a week ago? She got back on Christmas Eve, Monday, at 1:30. We almost forgot to go get her because we were so busy trying to get everything else going. No, we didn't. But we went over and got her. And one of her testimonies was that I should have brought her, actually. One of her testimonies was, I will bring her to make sure that she comes and talks. But one of her testimonies was that she didn't know why you weren't supposed to proselytize, the Jews. They like your money, they like you to come over, they just don't like you trying to win everybody to Jesus. But she didn't know, she couldn't figure out why. Yeah, exactly. But she began getting a chance to talk to their tour guide, who was an awesome young lady, not a believer, but neither was she an observant Jew. But she knew, kind of the way of the world over there, and why people feel the way they do, about Christians and that type of thing. I'll let her explain it. Found that she had an understanding where she wasn't hard on them any longer, And that's what we need for the Jews and for anybody else, is to not be hard on people. I don't know where I was going, but that's where I ended up. Just don't be hard on people. Don't be hard on yourself. Okay. Don't be hard on people and don't be hard on yourself. Jesus was not hard on people. He loved people. Even if it's kind of like, come on, make it. What if they're not making it? What if they're not up to making it today? It's okay. How about just giving them a phone call? Just letting them know that you love them. Don't give them a phone call and feel like you didn't do your job if you didn't fix them. Amen? We got one brother over in Fort Worth, and his family's been with us and around for years, and he's... He just kind of determined to kind of buck the system and not do what we would all decide that he ought to do, I mean, he's been known to live out of his car for months at a time. Why? Well, you can't quite get that. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, God told me. Okay, I don't know that I agree that you heard God on that, but especially if you're looking for everybody else to kind of shore you up in the meantime. But you just love the guy. Sometimes you don't go after people either. Sometimes you call them once in a while, and somehow he always manages to have a cell phone. I don't know. People manage. Isn't that funny how people manage? People manage. I do have a message today, but I don't know what the Lord's doing with this. But thank God for testimonies. Amen. Thank God for testimony. Thank God for the church. This is the church. The church is not necessarily just a message. Amen? Absolutely. We open the Word of God. We share the love of Jesus. So we share the Word of God with each other to encourage and build each other up, because we have a foundation. The Word of God is the foundation on which our faith is laid. And we have a solid foundation. And we're not disappointed. We're not disappointed. We let the Word of God become that foundation, and then we let the Holy Spirit lead us. Amen? You have to have the Holy Spirit leading you on the inside. The Word of God doesn't tell you what toothpaste to use. It doesn't tell you which individual person to talk to today. You put the Word of God on the inside of you, and you learn to hear His voice. You learn to hear His voice. How does that work? I do not know. It's a mystery. You know, well, the Bible doesn't tell me blah, 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 blah. Well, no, it's not supposed to. What the Word of God is it's the cable, it's the trunk, it's what keeps you in this world a solid connection physically, if you will, to God in this world through your eyes, through your ears, through the fellowship of the saints. But the Holy Spirit Himself who dwells in you, He, through that connection with the Word of God, changes you and draws you and directs you.
Yes.
Amen? So, is the Word of God all you need?
Yes.
The Word of God is all you need to start. But then you must have the daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're just trying to make the Word of God do something it doesn't do. You're trying to make the Word of God give you an answer in every circumstance, and what you have to do is take that Word of God and then you meditate upon it and then let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you. Amen? So that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. That's why Jesus said, if I don't go away, the physical Jesus right here with you holding your hand, sleeping out under the stars with you, Jesus, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. If I go away, He will come and He will guide you into all truth. He will be with you forever. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is Jesus in you. What is Colossians 1:27? What is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, not just Christ with you, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, it wouldn't have worked if Jesus had just, you know, kept holding their hand and walking with them and putting His arm around them. It wasn't going to work. It doesn't work if your daddy does that or your mommy does that, does it? It doesn't work that way. If your mommy and daddy, they put stuff in you that caused you to know that you have, it just even in the natural, here's what it takes to make it from day to day. You know, most of you don't live with your mommy and daddy. Most of you, you know. And even if you do, it's because God set that parameter up for you. Everybody's got a different parameter. But you know that you hear God. I know Andrew hears God. I know he hears the Lord. Amen? And God has set him up, him and his mom, to help each other. And so, but in many cases, that's an exception, but most cases, everybody is, you're out there and God is showing you daily, but your mom and dad don't live there anymore. They have let go, and the Holy Spirit lives in there. Even Andrew, and I'm using you as an example because you and your mom do live together, is that you are still a man of God who hears God. And you help your mom. Your role has changed. You're not a little guy. You're a man of God who hears God, and your assignment is to help your mom. That is powerful. That was Lynn's assignment for many years, and then Lynn got released, you know, from that. Now others have taken that on, you know, in part. And she's doing a little more arm's length. God is doing everything. God's doing something different in each of us. We're not going to look at each other and go, okay, well, that's what it should be. No, that's because you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. That's because you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, I should be doing that. No, you probably shouldn't, because then you'd be looking at somebody else. Some other mom. What's another mom doing? You know, what's another dad doing? What's another son doing? as a believer, you look to the Holy Spirit to build you up, to strengthen you, to show you who you are and what you will do every day. That's why when you open your eyes and you go, oh, it's a new day. It's another day. Most days are not exactly the same. Some people, you feel like they are some ways, but actually most days something else, something different is happening. Something different will happen that day that gives you an opportunity to say something to somebody. Or to, you know, sometimes your opportunity is just not to punch somebody in the nose. Amen. Some days that's your opportunity is to love your life. When somebody else would say it's not, I'm just not doing it. I don't want to do this anymore. That's your opportunity, is to love your life, because that's the life that God gave you and He is bringing to pass. Even when there's trouble, even when there's, I mean, really troublesome stuff, encourage one another. Call somebody. Say, just brother, encourage me. Build me up. Make sure you have somebody's phone number, you know. And make sure you have three people's phone number. That way you don't call the same person all the time. Oh, glory to God. Amen? I'm serious. Get about four people. Get about four people. This isn't the Bible. This is just me. It's like Paul said. This is just me. This is not the Bible, but it's wisdom. Is be able to have somebody that you can call and just be able to say, and don't wear them out. Just say, I need prayer today. Can you do that? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me today? A lot of times, prayer is better than you sharing the whole rugged story.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen? Because that person doesn't get kind of pulled into your emotional, you know, crater. Amen? So God is good.
Amen.
He's doing a great thing. Let's look over at Luke chapter 2. You probably knew we were going there today. Well, it's after Christmas. Well, this is after Christmas. I mean, Luke 2 is after Christmas. It's Christmas and after. You know, we always go back to these we call them stories, truths. We always go back to read the Word of God and to see what He said about the coming of the Lord. This is the coming of the Lord that the people of Israel were not prepared for. They were prepared for a different one. They were prepared for the coming of the Lord. It was Jesus on a horse. Best they got was a donkey. You know. So he's come riding in on a little donkey. And, you know, they laid down the things and hoping he would jump up and jump off the donkey, or the donkey would become a big white horse and he would take over. But you know what? He didn't do that. But he did take over because he died for me. The first thing you do in an army, and of course they thought they were ready, but they weren't ready. The first thing you do with an army, what do? With a bunch of guys that you're just starting out with, you know, ragtag, train them. And what's the first job of training a soldier? Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill his will. Destroy his will. Why? Because his will is what will kill him in the field. Amen? I think Dan maybe the only... Anybody else here in the military besides Brother Stevenson?
Navy ROTC.
Navy ROTC. Well, you got a taste of it, didn't you? Yeah. Is that? But Dan will tell you, they first thing they do is kill you. First thing to do is take your will and subject it to the commander. Amen? And that's what has to happen to you, is my will has to be subjugated to the commander. It's that I totally trust that commander with my life. Is that right? Or did I just read the propaganda?
No.
Is you're trusting your life because you trust your life to that to the commander. You trust your life to that. Because that, or at least that's what they'll tell you, is because if you don't listen to me and do exactly what I say, you know, you will likely die, at least die first. You know, you will go first. And so that's what we do, is come in and first of all, you don't go out and do. First of all, you come in and you die. And that's what, and so this Jesus coming in, the guys thought, hey, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? Have you looked in the mirror? Have you guys looked in the mirror? This is not going to happen. I mean, Peter tries to get the guy and he gets his ear. You know, that's how good they were with, you know, weapons. You know, the guy just kind of went, ooh. Just kind of, he got his ear, but he missed him. He was trying to whack his head off. And when they were trying to take Jesus. So what he wants to do is prepare. What he wanted to do was prepare a people. Amen? But prepare people to do what? To love. To prepare a people to take the world and to destroy the works of the enemy. Rome wasn't the problem. It was your sin that was the problem. It was your sin that was the problem. And so that's what Jesus came to do. And again, it just as an army young person, you know, your sin, your rebelliousness, your will, your individual will to do it your own way. First of all, they cut your hair off. You know, these are the things that they do to make get you prepared to not live according to your own will. That's what Jesus first came to do. He couldn't bring them on and say, okay, we're going to save the world, because that wasn't going to save anything. They would just die in their sins. Amen? They would just die in their sins. That's not going to help. What he came to do was set them free from their sin to live forever. Amen? So that's what Jesus is here for. He is to come and deliver you from your sin. That's why they called him Yeshua. That's what was the promise. That was the name. For he will, and you will call his name Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. Because that's what's killing you. It's not the Romans. It's, you know, it's you. It's your sin. All right. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days. I just waited for you to get here. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. There's people talking about whether that means taxed or registered. Well, they registered them so they could tax them. You know, they found out where everybody was and who everybody was so that they could tax them. Because I mean, they look in historical secular historical records. Well, they didn't do a tax back then. They, you know, and so they'll look for any excuse to make the Bible wrong. But the fact is that no, they did do a tax. They did do a census. They did do a registration to find out. This is when the Roman Empire was the largest it ever was. It said it was all the way to Parthia in the east and to Britain. In the West. Britain. The Roman Empire in the day of Jesus and Paul was all the way went all the way to the British Isles. It's a pretty big outfit. Yeah. Pretty big outfit. Yeah, but that was and to them that was the whole world. That was the whole world. I mean they didn't care if there was any Mayan civilization or, you know, or Amazon. Yeah, Amazon Basin. They didn't know anything about that. That was something else going on. God knew about that, but they didn't know. And it came to pass that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. It's always good that the Bible always names somebody that the world can figure out who it is or when it was, because these names are written in secular history as well. So when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. You don't say no. You go. You show up. Because if you don't show up, they'll come find you. Well, they didn't have the internet. How could they find him? They, you know, everybody always managed. Dictators and tyrants always managed to figure a way to, there's always been a way to get you, find you, and and force you. Amen? I mean, people figure that out. That's what sin is. That's what totalitarianism is whatever technology you've got, you use it to, you know, figure it out and make sure that everybody's obeying and everybody's doing what they should be doing according to your law. They always managed to find out. Why did they do that back then? Well, they did. They just managed. Had they lift those rocks up? Had they do all that engineering, you know, with the pyramids and what all? You know, had they? It wasn't aliens. Okay, and the aliens didn't build the pyramids. Said over in, you remember over in the in Babel, God came down and said, you know, all the world has the same language. Let's go down and see what they're doing. And he said, there will not, he made a prophecy right there, is that nothing will be impossible to them if we just let this go. Nothing, and things will move too fast. So let's mess up their language. So he messed up their language and they departed all over the place because they couldn't communicate. Well, we kind of solved that now. I still can't speak Spanish, but they solved it now. Is it? It's all the internet, or you know, all communication is. The whole world is one again, isn't it? So each one went to his own city, every one to be taxed, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being who was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, have a baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Anybody ever wonder what that was? Somebody heard a sermon somewhere, I'm sure, that, you know. It's basically strips. So that you kind of keep the baby all bundled up. You just kind of wrap him up. You just kind of wrap him up, you know, so he doesn't hurt himself, basically. You know, you have babies that, you know, scratch themselves with their little fingernails and what all. So you want to keep that from happening. So you just, they've got all kinds of little technological marvels that people do. They just, you know, people managed. You know, people weren't dumb. You realize that? People were not dumb. They just the steps of technology had not developed, but people were sharp. I mean, the same people that invented the internet, like Al Gore, the same people that invented the internet were the same, had the same intelligence as Adam. The same intelligence of the same people that invented everything else, they were thinking the same things. Actually, we got actually some people who are smarter than our generations today, because they were more well read. They weren't as distracted as our generations are by, you know, stuff to do 24/7. Remember when we used to get bad news only 30 minutes a day, Dan, at 5:30, and if you missed it, you missed it. Now you can turn it on 24 hours a day and get bad news, and they just keep harping on the same bad news. Make you depressed, won't it? People weren't as depressed in the 50s and 60s. Why? Because they didn't hear as much bad news, Jack.
They had the Bible in school.
They had the good news on the coffee table, but they never read it either. But they did have the Bible. The Bible was more available than the evening news, thank God. So verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That's like the feeding trough. This is the king of the universe. He came to be a person. Came to be a man. We were visiting with our kids over at their Christmas program last Sunday morning. My daughter-in-law was in charge of the whole thing at Jordan, where Jordan and Robin's church is, and so their pastor talked about the conversation that Jesus and the Father had before he came. You know, it's hypothetical, obviously. It's like You want to go down there and do all that? Sure. How's it going to go? You know, so they would just talk about how it's going to go. Well, you're going to be this baby. Well, you sure we got to do that? Yeah, do we have to do it? Of course, you know, in the garden he says, you know, you sure we got to do this? That's the part we do have, you know, is that Jesus says, you know, if there's any way, could we not do this? Just speaking as a man. It's going to hurt. You know. And because he already knew what was going to happen. And God had, you know, he already knew. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what was going to happen. He probably watched the video already, you know, back in heaven before he left, you know, to see what was going to, ooh. And that's me? Yeah, that's you. Boy, I was good looking. Actually, they said he wasn't all that good looking. There was no comeliness in him that anybody desired him. You know, so he's not your first choice boyfriend, you know, or something. You know, he's kind of homely, I guess. Is that sacrilegious? No. I mean, he probably looked a lot like me. He was probably short and dumpy. And so, but Jesus says, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that." And you're going to be in a manger, and you're going to be born in a stable. In the back of the inn, and in a sleep in a feeding trough. Wow. Yeah, let's do it. So she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I couldn't even make a reservation. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Either it was cold, or whether it was December or not, we don't know that it was December. We probably got an idea it was either spring or fall, maybe Passover, maybe Rosh Hashanah in the fall. Probably not shepherds keeping their flocks by night in December. Because it gets cold over there. It's northern hemisphere. It gets, it's about on the same latitude that we are.
It is.
Esther was kind of noticing that she got chilly at night. Kind of cool at night in Israel. And so those shepherds were out there in the just doing the same old thing they always do. Shepherds were in the same country. We kind of shift the view from the manger to these shepherds out on the hillside, keeping watch over their flock by night. So it's nighttime. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore, they were very afraid. It's like, what is this? What is this? What's going on? Help! You know, I mean, you know, it's a crisis. It's like, you know, you don't know what's going on. Is a nuke going off? What is it? You know, is what's happening? Because, I mean, this is something that they were not used to seeing. The brightness of the coming of the Lord. The brightness of the Lord, of the presence of the Lord. And said the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the result was they were very afraid. But the angel spoke, and he said to them, "Fear not, for behold," I wonder how long it took him to breathe, start breathing again, and to quiet down. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You know, if I was going to give a message like that, I would wait till somebody had kind of started breathing normally again. After I had come in the room so robustly, and to say that, "Hey guys, I know we kind of startled you, but we want you to know that I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people." All people. Remember Abraham? Abraham was not a Jew. Anybody remember that? Abraham is not a Jew. The Jews, Judah, Jews, from which the nickname Jews comes, was Abraham's great-grandson. Right? So his son was Isaac. His grandson was Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. So those were great-grandsons, and Judah was one of them. And Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Abraham's great-grandson, Judah, Israel, his dad, is the nation of Israel. So the Jews weren't Abraham, but Abraham, the promise to Abraham was, you're going to be the father of one nation, many nations. You're going to be the father of many nations. In Isaiah, the promise is that the Savior, the Messiah, is going to be, or the Israel is going to be a light to the Gentiles. Boy, they don't like that verse. They want to be over the Gentiles. They want to be better than the Gentiles. We got a covenant with God. We're God's people. Well, God said, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. And here he says, the angel says, this good tidings of great joy is going to be to what? All people. So it's not just to the Jews, but this is going to be to all people. I hope the shepherds got that little caveat, that little extra idea that this is going to be for all people, not just going to be for the Jews. It's going to be for all people. Because, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Today is the day. For today, unto you is born this day in the city of David. Where? In the city of David. Where is that? Well, the city of David, there's one city of David that's actually in Jerusalem, the lower part of the city. But the city of David is where David was born, is Bethlehem. And that's the one that was, they were next to. So, and that was known, is that the city of David, this is the Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethlehem is the city of David. And so, for unto you is born this day a Savior, which is in the city of David, which is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Just like was said in verse 7. Well, there he was. Okay, they told him exactly how they're going to recognize him. He's going to baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, that's typical. Number one is a baby. He's not a grown man. He's not a young person. He's a baby. Number two, he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, let's say we see babies all the time. We see babies wrapped up in swaddling clothes, but I don't know how many we find in a manger, even back then. Yeah, I don't know how many we actually find in a manger. They probably didn't make reservations for the manger very often. So you're going to find the baby in a manger, in the feeding trough. There's probably only room for one baby in a feeding trough anyway. All right? And suddenly, now this is really interesting. Suddenly, because we're not supposed to celebrate Christmas in some quarters, because God didn't say celebrate. He didn't say celebrate Christmas. Well, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, sounds like a celebration to me. Whether it was commanded or not, I mean, God's people, I mean, the angels came and gave a concert to the shepherds. I mean, they didn't wait and go down to the stable. They didn't wait and go down to the stable with them. They did this out on the hillside. Amen? They did this out on the hillside. God showed up out on the dirty hillside with the sheep and the shepherds. Isn't that powerful that he would do that? He showed up for like, how many guys? Maybe, we figure three because your nativity scene only has maybe three shepherds. And at a pinch, it only has one shepherd, the small version. You always have to have three wise men, which didn't show up for a couple of years. actually. But since it was in the first chapter of Matthew, you kind of include them anyway. But here the shepherds are, and the shepherds are there on the side of the hill. And here's the angels not only show up and give the message, but they in fact are celebrating. I think those shepherds kind of got something out of that. That this is a celebration. This is a celebration. This isn't just you know, a message to be dropped, a bomb to be dropped on you, but this is a celebration. Celebrating Jesus' birthday. Amen? We celebrate your birthday. Why don't we celebrate Jesus' birthday? The birth of the entrance of the Savior into the world. The entrance of the Savior into the world. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem." I guess they knew where it was. "Went to Bethlehem and see this thing." Which thing? The thing that they were just told about. "See this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Well, they knew who it was. They knew who had done this. They knew who had done this. They knew that the Lord God had done this. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad everywhere. They broadcast it, the saying which was told them concerning the child. So these guys were, they Facebooked it. You know, they texted it. They emailed it. However they got the message out, they broadcast it. They made known abroad. They made some kind of a broadcast. Everywhere they were going. They went downtown. You know, and how people talk. Really? Whoa. Wow. Because that's how things were done. By and large, everybody, it was verbal. Yeah, so you went down to town and you started telling something up, and everybody was, it's like Mars Hill. You remember Paul and, I think it's Paul and Barnabas or Paul and Silas. Can't remember which missionary journey this was. But they'd go to, they went to Mars Hill in Athens, and everybody was all hanging around there because they just wanted to hear or tell of some new thing. What was the news going on? Yeah, there were places that you would go to find out what the news is, or places you would go to tell something, and that all of a sudden it would go everywhere. So they managed. They had their ways of getting information. They had their ways of getting information, and they actually had the ways of getting information done quickly. It would disseminate very quickly. So they spread, made known abroad that saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which are told them by the shepherds. So they realized, they recognized, this was told us by shepherds, these guys. It wasn't just a rumor somewhere. It's these guys, these shepherds, actually had a message. And they said it. How about you? You got a message, don't you? People hear you. People hear you. They hear the message. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't talk a lot. Mary didn't talk a lot. She just took Jesus and raised him. She wouldn't listen to a bunch of people, even good or bad. She wasn't listening. She just kept all these things and just praise the Lord. Let the Lord speak to her. Amen? That's a mom, isn't it? Moms kind of do that. Keep those things. Just keep those things. Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." The shepherds returned. They didn't forget about it. They were glorifying and praising God. They were changed. Those guys, those shepherds were changed. They were completely changed by the presence of God. They had heard a message from God, and they were absolutely changed. So, as they were changed, they began to continue to tell that message. I don't believe that's the last time they told them. That's not the last time they said anything about it. They continued to share the message. They continued to share the Word of God as they had received it. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. And the shepherds returned. They went back to their business. They went back to their shepherding. Amen? They just went, they went back to what they were, and they went back to their normal business. But what did they do? Glorifying and praising God. So they went back to the normal business, but they were changed by the Word of God. So, when you're changed by the Word of God, does everything change? No, you went back, you go back to work. Put your hand to whatever you had put your hand to, but you're glorifying and praising God. You know, that shepherding job became different. Because that's, in their case, that's where they received the Word. That's where they received it. They received the Word on the job. What'd you do at work? Well, there's this bunch of angels that came by. So they received it. How many know you can receive a word from God on the job? Amen. I mean, sitting at your desk. Amen. Praise God. I mean, how much time do you spend there usually? A lot. You spend a lot of time there. So, and God can show up. He doesn't mind showing up at your office. Amen. That's good. So these guys, the shepherds returned to their work, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So that's powerful. That's powerful. Your life has changed. When God speaks to you, your life has changed. Amen? It's like back in the chapter 1. You have Ed Zacharias. I talked about this in Fort Worth a couple weeks ago. Is in Zacharias, you know, here's this angel again. Here, you know, here's Gabriel. And this is the big guy. This is the big guy. And so there Zacharias is. He's doing one of his two weeks a year in the temple. God knew right where he was. And he comes to Zacharias and he says, hey. And of course, Zacharias is like, whoa. And because he's all by himself, alone in his quiet temple. Yeah, in the temple, quiet. You know, he says, shh. Don't make noise. It's God's in here. And so he's in the temple, and this angel shows up, and he says, Zacharias, your prayer is answered. And of course, Zacharias is like, Lynn knows this. Zacharias' prayer is like, what prayer? That was awesome. I'd pray that prayer. Could you remind me what prayer we're talking about? I mean, I forgot about this prayer. I mean, you know, this was long. We're long past having babies here in this house. He says, your prayer is answered. About the time of life, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. Well, you know, this wasn't an immaculate conception. So I believe the guy went home and acted in faith. Amen. That's the power. Like Abraham. Like Abraham.
Amen.
Amen. You do what has babies, even though it's stupid. You know, it's like, it's no way this is going to happen. But, you know, we'll give it a shot. We'll give God an open door. And so he says, how's this thing going? How will this be? Well, first of all, you're not going to be able to speak until this thing happens so that you don't mess it up. You know. And here's your first testimony that God came and spoke to you and you can't even speak. You know, something happened in that temple. And so that changed him. It gave him a testimony because the angel showed up. The shepherds here have a testimony. God showed up. And they went back to work, glorifying and praising God for all the things that were said and done. And I don't believe that they quit talking about it. They didn't forget about it. They probably kept up with the kiddo. They probably kept up with him. And probably got their name and address back in Nazareth. Well, let us know how it's going. Let's find out. I believe those shepherds probably became disciples of Jesus, or at least their kids did. Amen? I want to tell the kids, hey, you know, when you get old enough to ride your own, gonna ride your own donkey, you know, go on up to Nazareth and find this kid. See what he's doing. Amen? Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished, had passed, for the circumcising of the child, traditionally 8 days, and so, you know, anybody know that's what we baptize based on, that tradition? Christians baptize based on that after 8 days in the most, what I'll call high church. When you take the little kiddo down there to sprinkle him, they use the same 8-day tradition to baptize. So you take your baby down there to baptize him into the kingdom of God. Here, they circumcise the baby to the covenant. So the covenant, here being a circumcision, and they named him. That's also the tradition, is that they named the child at the time of the circumcision. Same thing in the Christian faith, is that, you know, most of the, you know, the liturgical, what I'll call liturgical denominations, starting with the Catholic, but then also carried on into the those that came out of that tradition, which was the Methodists, which was the Anglicans, which was the, I didn't do them in order, but and the Lutherans and Presbyterians. Because all of those came out of the Catholic traditions. They were offshoots of the Protestant offshoots of the Catholic traditions. All right. And so and at that time, his name was called Jesus, or Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So they were back in Nazareth, but they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. So he was raised according to the law of the Lord. He was raised according to the covenant of Moses. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I'll read the rest in a minute. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. So he was waiting for the Messiah. So this man had read the scriptures, had studied the scriptures, and he was in the temple, worshiping, waiting. How many of you are waiting? Waiting for one thing or another. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's his whole goal. He's not waiting for anything else but the consolation of Israel. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the consolation of Israel? Are you waiting for the living God to come and speak to your heart? You know what? That happens daily. It happens daily. It happens daily. Why? To you. Why? Because you are filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is constantly speaking to you. Is he going to give you a new assignment every day? Maybe not. But what he is going to do is going to tell you every day that I love you. He's telling you every day that I have met all of your needs. He's telling you every day, don't despair. Don't be afraid. I love you. I'm working all things for your blessing and your benefit. Just rest and joy and give thanks and enjoy what the life and breath and the power of the living God today. That's where most people fall. Is they look at their circumstances like Peter on the water. Is they look at the wind and the waves and they forget the looking at Jesus. So you're looking at Jesus and going, hallelujah. God is good, there's nothing that can stop me. Amen. If God be for me, everybody, who can be against me? Ain't nobody. Nobody. Wyatt, if God is for you, and He is, nobody can be against you. Amen. So that's every day. That's every day that you're thanking God, you know, and just rejoicing and giving praise to Him from your heart. You know, even if you don't walk into your closet and fall down on your knees and do the physical representation, just to open your eyes and to just rejoice from your heart, to give thanks from your heart, to be at rest and at peace in your heart today. Amen? I wake up, man, I don't do anything right, but I'm happy and I'm peaceful because the living God is my portion, and He's my life, and He's my peace. Amen?
Amen.
Just as you wake up, remembering that I don't have any fears, even though there's a lot of fears I could have, but I don't have any fears. And you look at folks who have trouble, and they're troubled by the trouble, and you want to pray for them, and you give thanks that that trouble doesn't trouble you. You're weird, or you are just, you ain't got no good sense. Anybody ever tell you that as a Christian? I mean, you ain't got no sense. If you had sense, you'd be worried. If you had sense, you'd be fearful. If you had good sense, you'd be like me. Afraid. Isn't it? That's so true. How many know people in that boat? Peter, speaking of boats, Peter was in that, got out of that boat. And he was walking along, looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden he saw the wind boisterous and the waves. And he was what? Afraid. He began to look at the circumstances. He began to look at the fact that he was still living in this world, and in the world you have trouble. Jesus, save me! At least he knew what to do. Jesus, save me! And he caught him and lifted him up. And they both came back into the boat. Are you in the boat? Every day? Every morning? In Jesus' boat? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm in His boat. We're riding on the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes we go out and take a walk. Still a little nerve-wracking for the old bones. It's still a little, you know. Jesus says, hey, let's go for a walk. You go to, okay. Because you're like, you know, it's always kind of a thing, you know, when Jesus wants you to go for a walk with Him out there on the waves, you know, because you don't have your water wings built in. But you do, actually, because you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and you have faith. Amen. That's born of God. You have faith that's born of God. Amen. So He begins to teach you how to do these things. He begins to teach you to have no fear. Amen? First of all, you got to know you have no fear. It's like we talked about at the very beginning about when the disciples wanted to be able to take over the Romans and what all and take over everything. And Jesus looked at them and went, I don't think so. I think we need to work on you first. And it's like we talked about being what do they do? Ask Dan, you know, what do? At the beginning of military service, we break your will. Because your will is the problem. Your will is going to get you killed. So you want to be where you're listening to the master. You're listening to the Lord. You're listening to the commander. Why does the Bible talk about the army of the Lord? Amen. You're the army of the Lord, and you're listening to the master. Because you're doing what he tells you to do so that you'll die. Because if you do what you're going to do, if you do what you want to do, like Peter, he would have sunk. He thought he was doing it until he saw all the activity going on around him. It's not me, is it? So here, verse 25, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, the same man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Well, how'd that happen? Well, the Holy Ghost was upon John, you know, John the Baptist. See, God would put the Holy Ghost on people, prophets, but he would just put the Holy Ghost on people who he needed to use because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus says, he is with you, but he shall be, talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he shall be what? In you. But he's with you. And he would come upon people for purposes that were ordained of God. In this particular one, it's Simeon. And Simeon was there to see and testify that the Savior had come and he had brought him to the temple to consecrate him to the Lord. And he was there to testify to the parents, this is the day that I've been waiting for. This guy's not a young guy. So he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost You like that?
Yes.
What did I just read? As revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. It's just a man in Dallas. There was a man in Dallas. There was a woman in Grand Prairie, Grapevine. And the Holy Ghost was upon her. And it was revealed to him, or her, him in this case, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before the Lord's Christ. So obviously he's thinking more and more about that. It's getting late, God. So he comes to the temple every day. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, so he came in this day, he came by the Spirit. Maybe he didn't come every day. But he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit brought him to the temple that day. The day that Mary and Joseph had brought the boy, he brings him. He says, Simeon, go down to the temple. Like what's his name? Starts with an A. Went down to lay hands on Paul.
Ananias.
Thank you. Except this is before the Holy Ghost was given. This is the Holy Ghost just put on an individual for that day. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, verse 28, then took he up in his arms. Oh my gosh, that would be scary. Some guy picks up your baby. Then he took him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. How did he know which kid it was? Probably a bunch of kids getting brought in there. This is like New York City. They're bringing all kinds of kids in there. But he all of a sudden, that's the kid. That one right there. So he runs up, grabs the little guy, picks him up, and blessed God and said, now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. This is Isaiah 52. Which you have prepared before the face of all people. Here it is. A light to lighten the Jews. Oh, wait, no. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which are spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So he even gave prophesied to Mary that this isn't going to be easy. Anybody know that? Sometimes living's not easy. In the natural. Amen? Sometimes living's not easy, but it's okay. It's like our guys we were talking about today. Byron? and Brian and Rick. They've we have folks who that lose hope. You know, we had some testimonies this morning about guys who are having had tripped up in the concerning the faith. And we want to be there to encourage them and to build them up and to teach them that it's not about what they have done or haven't done. It's only about what Jesus has done. And Jesus didn't give up on them, and he didn't forget them, and he didn't. And the work that Jesus is doing, he's going to continue to do until the day of Jesus Christ, the day that he comes. So you have never outlasted God's mercy. You've never outlasted God's love. You seek him. And he is more than enough. He's more than enough. I got to know that. He's more than enough. You know, we got everybody here's got some thing that you know you're going to deal with. And God's there to help you with it and to walk with you through it and to give you joy, peace, and rest. Finish this up. So read that verse 35 again. It says, "Yea, a sword shall pass through your own soul also, Simeon, to Mary, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So there's through the toughest times happening to you, the thoughts of many hearts. May be revealed. You know, through your testimony and your struggle, tough times, your chair five, as we say, your chair five experience, many thoughts and hearts will be revealed. Because you have a word, you have a testimony that somebody will benefit from, will be blessed by, will be encouraged them, to an encouragement to them. Amen? Amen. Well, why do I have all this trouble? So you can, Jesus said the same thing. He said he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. So though you have struggle, you have an opportunity to tell why Jesus is bigger than the struggle. Though you're troubled on every side, you're not in despair.
Amen.
Amen. We're troubled on every side. We're not in despair. We're perplexed, but not downcast. All these things come in our way, but we're delivered. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody know where that is? I used to talk about that one all the time. I think it's over in Colossians. But we look up the word. If somebody looks up the word perplexed, you'll find it, because I think it's the older time. It's in the New Testament. I think it's Colossians. But anyway, if you find it, let me know. All right. And verse 36, there was also one Anna. So there's a man there and a woman there. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age. I was delicate. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So she was married 7 years. But she is long past that. And she was a widow of about 84 years. At 84 years old. But she'd only been married for 7 years. And then she's a widow since then. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So she was a prophetess of the Lord. And lived there. I don't know how that works out, but at the temple.
A long time.
And she coming in that instant. Everybody say instant. Coming in that instant. Just as Simeon had been swinging the baby around and giving testimony to Mary and Joseph here, she comes in up to them at that point. That instant, God prepared her just for that moment. thanks, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke to him, spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here we go. Your redemption is accomplished. This is Jesus. And he was recognized not only from his birth, but also the fact that he had arrived for the consolation of Israel. And we celebrate. The angels celebrated. Well, I'll celebrate. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ being born, for Jesus' entry into the world. I mean, if he hadn't come the way he came, he couldn't have died and rose the way he did. He had to be born of a virgin. This is a very important part of the story. It wasn't just a guy who was called by God. Jesus Christ is God himself in human flesh. And he was designed for your redemption. This covenant was designed for you to be redeemed by God himself, loving you, giving himself for you in a human body. He was born in this world, and he was lived in this world the same as you and me, yet without sin, and he was crucified, and he rose from the dead. And if we believe in that finished work, he will come and live on the inside of us, and he will live by the Holy Ghost and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He will live in you and be and change you every single day. I'm not trying to get better. Jesus is living me in me every day, and he's transforming and changing me. I just come into his presence and trust him and believe him every day.
Amen.
Amen. He's not, well, Jesus saved you. Come on, what can you do? Come on, get it together, dude. We're not telling Rick to get it together. We're not telling Byron to get it together. Believe the gospel.
Amen.
What's the command? The command is repent, turn around, change your mind, change your dumb mind, and believe the gospel. Change your mind that is something that you can do and say that it's what God can do and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ crucified, died for me, rose for me, imparted the Holy Spirit to me, lives in me, lives his life through me. And every day I give him praise and thanks and glory and let him do the work that he promised he would do. And I'm happy, happy, happy.
Yes.
Aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't check. Don't judge. Let me check my happy meter.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Stop it. You know, you want to look. You want to... You said people ask me, say, how you doing? You've heard me say this.
Perfect.
Well, Pastor Jim does that one. I do kind of another one. How you doing? Great, but I'm not looking.
Oh, that's good.
If I was looking, I might doubt.
Yeah.
But it's like Peter. Don't be looking. Mm-hmm. Don't be checking your circumstances. Don't be checking your progress. I mean, I can check all the things, that bunch of check boxes to see if it's working out right. It's probably not. That's okay. It's okay that things don't look like they're working out right because I believe the gospel. A lot of people want to give you a hard time about that because they want to argue about it. They want to apologize you. You know, an apologist. They want to argue about it with you. You know. Well, I don't see any fruit. Well, who are you? Are you the judge? Are you? What? Who are you to say whether you see fruit or not? Now, so I'm going to just I'm going to trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is here, and He has since died and risen again.
Amen.
He is my Savior. I'm happy and blessed, and every day is a new day. But we got a new year coming up. God gave times and seasons. Why? So you could rejoice, have a party. Amen.
Amen.
He gave times and seasons so you could start over again.
Amen.
Just start over. So January 1st, actually, we always meet and dedicate the church and dedicate our properties and everything on New Year's Day. If y'all have time to come to Dallas, come to Fort Worth, that's great. And it's 10 o'clock on New Year's Day. 10 o'clock on New Year's Day. And if you can come, make a plan. It'll only last about 4, 5, 6 hours. No, I'm just kidding. No, we kind of whittled Pastor Jim down to about an hour and a half. And so God's doing it. Amen? It's powerful. So come and be with us that day. And let's pray as we're fixing to go. If you need prayer this morning, let's pray together. And thank God for His need, for every need being met. Finances being met. People being changed. Amen. Lives being changed. Brand new year. 2019. My 40th anniversary is coming up. Pray that I'll remember it. Well, yeah, but we got 5 months to go. And so our ministry begins after 40 years. Yeah, our ministry will begin now this year. Praise the Lord. Amen.